All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to today's webinar hosted by My Damn Services. My Damn Services, efficiency through technology, scalability through people. My name is Frank DiCarlo, and Henrik and I are welcoming Mark Milstein. Mark, thanks for being here today.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Absolutely. Incredible work you and the team of Vazual are up to, but more on that in a bit. Absolutely. As creative professionals, it's important to stay ahead of the curve, especially when it comes to new technologies that can impact your work. Synthetic media is one such technology that is quickly gaining traction and is changing the landscape of visual content creation. To help you better prepare for the impact of synthetic media, we've invited Mark to share his insights on the topic that's ahead of us in today's webinar. Mark is a leading expert on synthetic media and is one of the bigger names in the industry that has begun generating licensed synthetic stock media. This is My Damn Services' fourth webinar in the series. If you missed the other three, you can find them on YouTube or any of our other different social media platforms. Please feel free to check those out. We first spoke to Alex Serdug. He and his Emmy Award-winning voice cloning team are doing some incredible work. In our second webinar, Tamora Cardam and Oliver Feldwick spoke more in depth about integrating synthetic media. In our last, Nathan Phillips got into how artificial intelligence is revolutionizing the way we market to business. So again, please feel free to check those out. But today the three of us are going to talk about just some of the many advantages of synthetic media and how to best prepare for its impact on the creative process. We'll be saving time at the end for questions and answers, so please feel free. Click on that Q&A icon, enter your questions, and we'll do our best to get to everybody today. So I'm anxious to get started. So with that, Henrik, I'm going to hand it over to you. Let's start asking Mark some questions.
Thanks, Frank. Mark, let's start with setting the stage. What is synthetic media, just for the people that don't know?
Well, synthetic media is actually quite a few things. It's not only photography, it's now video, it's also voice. And it could possibly be something else in the near future. Whereas many, let's say in ancient history, 1 year ago, we all assumed that synthetic content focused exclusively on photography. In other words, the replication of what came out of a telephone or a DSLR. And now there is synthetic voice, there is synthetic video. There very well in the near future might be synthetic motion pictures and other types of content and media that we're absolutely not even aware of yet and haven't even thought of. So synthetic media is a exciting and growing field.
Mark, where is synthetic media going in the future?
Ooh, this is a loaded question because there are many, many avenues that are being right now pushed forward. One, which unfortunately is very, very troubling, is a huge wellspring of interest and development on synthetic media that relies upon the scraping of copyrighted data. That copyrighted data could be photography, it could be audio, it could be video. But that training data that has been scraped from any one of a thousand variety of sources, whether it be from the likes of a Getty Images or a Shutterstock library, or a Google search, or even from an already existent data set, which has never or has not received a copyright clearance from the content creatives. People have gone out and created these amazing generative AI platforms, Crayon, Stable Diffusion. We've seen DALL-E. We've all been wowed. I think now we're sort of so jaded at this moment about, oh, well, here comes another platform with another, the ability for us to just type in a query and then generate anything quite literally out of the ether. But one has to constantly remember that those platforms that we're currently enjoying have all been based upon illegal scraping of copyrighted data. And that is one area that is sort of surprised me in the fact that so many people are so excited about this and pressing forward with the development of similar platforms without taking into consideration the legalities. There are other platforms which are under construction at this very moment and in development, which have taken into consideration those legalities. Those have not yet come up with or made themselves public facing, but they shortly will. And so, yeah, that's it.
In one of our last conversations, Mark, you were talking about some that are getting involved creating content for synthetic media and seemingly oblivious to the idea that they might be taking elements that aren't copyright protected. They're actually, you know, mixing and merging what's already available out there that could get them in a lot of trouble. It's amazing where we are in the early stages of synthetic media, where some major players are making that seemingly rookie mistake. No?
Oh, it's shocking, actually. And I think my favorite conversation comes from one of the largest players in this sphere, which occurred about a month ago in a conference call, where the lead developer behind one of the three or four mentioned products talked about how the work and the research that they were doing was all very beneficial, and that they didn't understand what all the hoopla was, the negative hoopla relating to copyright infringement, and that they were honestly surprised, and that they had not really thought about the product or the generative AI product as a negative impact on licensed stock media, and are still grappling with all of the fallout from that, and they don't have quite yet an answer to how they're going to deal with it and or how they're going to possibly re-strategize themselves in order to take that into consideration.
And Mark, how will companies be able to use this?
Oh, wow. That is the $1 billion question. So at this very moment, it's a great toy. I think everybody really enjoys typing in a query, 80-year-old man standing on the lip of a volcano, drinking a cocktail, and boom, there he is. Or, you know, a raccoon who's an astronaut who looks like a raccoon flying into a black hole. Okay, there it is. And that's a lot of fun. Unfortunately, the likes of Getty and Shutterstock have chimed in the last 2 weeks. And both platforms have stated that under no circumstances presently will any content creative be able to upload content that has been generated via any one of the aforementioned generative AI platforms to be further licensed as stock media through their platforms. And that's because they are deathly worried about the impact and the lack of indemnification that they can offer end users. They also are, I think, incensed that the data sets that were used to train those aforementioned AIs primarily came from their libraries. So it's a toxic loop that has been created here. And until that can be straightened out, there will be no uploading of generative AI to any one of the licensing platforms for further licensing onto corporate clients and or any client. Just because they're unable, the platforms, meaning Getty, Shutterstock, 123RF, are unable to offer any indemnification. They just have zero idea what is coming down the road. They don't want to be on the target end of an amicus brief from content creative saying, hey, you know, we provided you our content. It's a safe space for our content to be licensed. And you then allowed inadvertently for this scraping mechanism to come in and literally vacuum clean every single thing that we thought was safe within your library, to then train an AI, which is then creating new content, which is then looped back into the library and then makes money off of our work. That has to be adjudicated and has not yet come full circle. So we have not heard any court give a final judgment on the legalities behind all of those issues.
And Mark, what needs to happen for this to be used without legal issues?
You know, in order for that to happen, a few things need to take place. And by the way, the good news is that what I'm going to tell you right now, what needs to be in place is already in place. In fact, tomorrow will be a monumental day in reversing all of the things that we just talked about. What needs to be in place is there needs to be a place where any generative AI developers, data scientists, AI gurus, people who want to create the next Crayon, the next Stable Diffusion, the next DALL-E can go to license their training data. You know, training data or licensing training data should not be a complicated a series of steps. It should be a very simple thing, no more complicated than going to Getty Images or Shutterstock and licensing a photograph to use in your blog and or in your advertising campaign. And so datasetshop.com, which is a project from Visual, is going to launch tomorrow. It's out of beta as of tomorrow. So it's datasetshop.com. This is a place where anybody who has interest in developing an algorithm, a generative AI algorithm, can go to. They'll be able to license biometrically released humans. That is the holy grail, of course, of stock photography. Without people in a picture, there really is very little what I call visceral glue to hold somebody's eyes. But of course, if there is an attractive model and or a familiar situation within the image, obviously that is an attractant, and certainly it adds value to that photograph. And then of course it mimics what is presently being created by cameras. It also, the datasetshop.com at this very moment will host exclusively biometric released content. So that means real humans that can be then used for training. It'll have synthetic humans, in other words, pictures that are synthetic in nature, that can be used without a model release. It'll soon have hundreds of millions of images of non-biometric scenarios, street scenes, urban scenes, farm fields, skies, clouds, bottles of water, seascapes, so on and so forth, which can then be used in the same way to train a generative AI. And so once that is in place, well, sky's the limit and everything becomes 100% legal.
So that's huge. So what Visual is doing, Visual, thank you. Has started to do and has been working on is getting releases from different models. And then they're signing the rights away, not away, but they're signing their availability to be used in any sort of ad that somebody or image that somebody's making up. So if you had an 80-year-old man, for an example, we could use him on the edge of the volcano, sipping a margarita, sunset in Hawaii, and we would get a few hundred images that would replicate or simulate what the computer interprets in your description to create that image, right?
That's correct.
That's wild. That's right. Do you have anything you can show us? You say there's something launching tomorrow.
Sure, absolutely. In fact, I can share my screen right now. I think that might be very interesting for everybody. And if you'll allow me, I'm going to do that. And here we go. Let's see. Press that on. There we go. So this is the data set shop where users who are in beta right now are able to come to and sign in. They're able to come over here and choose biometric release data sets. Every one of the people who are photographed in our over 500,000 image data set, the world's largest biometric release data set, have signed by a GDPR compliant biometric model releases, which allow for the mining of their data. They specifically have agreed to allow their likeness to be used for the generation of synthetic media. It's a process that has been going on now almost a year and a half. You could, or they, anyone can come over here and they could say, I need a data set of younger people. They're able then to see a sampling of what the data set would look like. They're able to choose either a standard license or a one-time purchase. They're able to choose the size that they particularly need. That relates to the cost. They could then say that they wish to augment the set. Augmentation refers to flipping or zooming and or changing the color of the background. They could add custom tags if they wanted to. That relates to adding specific custom tags that the client might ultimately need. And then they can purchase that data set by just saying like this and then checking out. And once they've done so, they can come over here. After they've paid for it, obviously, they can come over here and they can see the data set and then download it. They can download separately the TSV file, which has all of the tags that have been used in the data set. They can download the entire data set as a single file. They can download it in two separate smaller zips. And they can also download the augmented data set. The one that I requested that it be flipped horizontal. And I also requested that it be flipped vertical. Users can then do that. In the coming days and weeks, there will be additional data sets here, not just only humans, but there will be, again, cloudscapes, urban street scenes, farm fields, fences, walls, doors, windows, every single thing that you can honestly imagine that would be necessary to train a generative AI. If you wanted to create a custom data set, you could do that too by going like this, creating a custom data set. I could add a new filter by going here and saying, I would like to have clothing type. I would like to have people in hoodies. I would like to have them older. I would like to have them with gray eyes. I would like to have them angry. I would like to have them be only women. I would like to have them have blonde hair. I would like to have them have medium hair. And I would like to be all mixed race. And I could add that filter. And I get 2,213 images at this very moment. I think by the end of the week, that'll be many multiple times more. I could then say yes, or next, I should say. And then that data set has been created here, and I can then see a pricing. It's actually quite inexpensive. Purchase that and then download. And it's as simple as that. No more scraping, no more copyright infringement, 100% legal. Wow, leave the dark and come into the light and take synthetic media, into the next phase, which is it's 100% legal phase where everybody, all personality rights are observed and that there's no legal infringement and no worry about copyright infringement and or personality right infringement.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around what's possible and what's going to be happening. You know, this idea of being able to just have text to image and create virtually any type of scene that I want with any type of person. I imagine at some point it's going to be come down to licensing, whether or not you have the API to Coca-Cola, right, or Gatorade, to be able to use their brands in whatever you're creating, and then having that in the digital asset management space, be able to create that, throw it right into your DAM, and production costs, waiting time, those things are going to be eliminated, which is really, really the I have a trouble grappling with it. What I've known for years is going to disappear, and it's going to be instantaneous, along with everything else that we're learning. I can get now.
Right. So I think right now we're like sort of like in the exciting Wild West phase, no different than when Napster appeared on the scene. And all of a sudden, instead of having to go to buy a CD or a cassette from a local record shop, I could then now on my computer actually download content for free. Imagine that. And not just a select few, but everything. And that, of course, led to a huge outcry from the record industry as well as from regulators. I think we're going to see that very shortly in this sphere as well.
So if I hear you correctly, we're in the same phase as Napster, where they also had legal challenges because they were scraping music or audio rather than images that were licensed. Both were licensed or both are licensed. And so what about content that your own content? Will that be a future option as well as uploading your own content to be licensed?
That's right. So very, very shortly. In fact, actually, I shouldn't say shortly. It is live right now. Some of the aforementioned and generative AI platforms allow you to upload your own images and to generate AI content, synthetic content out of your own images. The dataset shop will allow you to upload your own photography. So in other words, let's say you have a library of farm fields, or you have a library of kitchen sets, And you can then upload those and then aggregate that content and create a licensable data set. Or you could license it, or you could place it on the data set shop and earn revenue from that. Because one of the things I did not mention, and I'll do that now, is that all of the biometrically released data set, all of the biometrically released data, all of the models that you just saw before, all of the real humans, they were paid for their likeness. There was a model call. In fact, it's ongoing. We do it 6 days a week, 10 to 12 models per day. Those models are paid a fee. They come into a studio. They spend approximately 1 hour, or a little bit more than that. They're photographed a couple of hundred times, but they're paid for their work. It's not free. We will allow you to upload your content, not biometric content, but your non-biometric content. So in other words, if you have a library of kitchens, you have a library of dogs, of farm fields, and you want to earn revenue from that, you can, because we will pay a considerable percentage of the licensing fee back to the copyright holder, in the same way that they can gain royalty payments from the placing of that content on a Shutterstock or a Getty. They will also be able to gain royalty fees from placing their content on the dataset shop. We look at a creating of a dataset no different than populating a blog with photography. You know, you have a blog, you have four or five squares that are empty that you need to fill up with images. You go onto a licensing platform, you find the image, the appropriate image, you download it and you place it within that. And now it adds color to your blog. The same way here. So you're a content creator, you're a photographer, you're a videographer, because we also accept video. You want to license that to hopefully generate some more revenue. You could make arrangements with us and supply us with that content. And every time that content is downloaded, you receive a royalty from the same way you're receiving right now from any of the aforementioned licensing platforms.
And it sounds like it's not a replacement of talent. It's not a replacement of photographers or videographers or anyone who's a content creator. It's an and option.
Yes, correct.
It's an and. So it's your current venues or channels like Getty or Shutterstock or wherever, and these other new channels.
Correct.
That's right.
It's a new revenue. It's a new revenue channel. That's right.
And lastly, before we go to Audney's questions, feel free to submit. How exciting or frightening could this be? Beyond, of course, the challenge of the current licensing challenge that we're facing. How exciting or frightening could this be?
I don't know. Well, if I could have traveled back in time to, let's say, the late 1890s, when George Eastman debuted the Brownie camera and founded Kodak, you can well imagine the fear that must have been circulating within the portrait painting community. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, up until that time, if you wanted to get your picture taken, you had two choices since the 1840s or so. You could have gone into a studio and had a daguerreotype or a tintotype made of you, but that was a very laborious and expensive process. It wasn't until the late 1890s when George Eastman came out with the Kodak Brownie that all of a sudden that technology was put into the hands of every man. All of a sudden you could go to a park with your family on a Sunday and have them pose, and all you had to do was press the shutter and leave the rest to them, as George Eastman wrote in his advertising copy. You returned the camera back to Rochester, New York, and a couple of weeks later came back your camera with a fresh roll of film as well as your prints. And this is the same thing. It's as disruptive as that. There are people right now who make their living going out with cameras and making photography who will find themselves impacted. That's true. But there is also opportunities opening because of this technology. And up until yesterday, there was no such person as a synthographer. That person didn't exist. But from this day forward, there certainly will be. There will be people called synthographers. Who are those people? Those synthographers will be people with creative skills as powerful as the greatest photographers, but also writing skills, or written skills in writing and descriptive terminology, as a copywriter, a person who can go out and actually create great queries, prompts, as they're called, and actually make that generative AI platform return the results that you expect. Because just because you know words doesn't mean you can actually create the kind of photography or synthography that you're hoping for. It's going to take a specialist. And so right now their skills might lie in holding a DSLR or a phone in the right direction and composing an image, but tomorrow those skills will shift to the aforementioned.
Yep. And just to clarify, the synthographer would type in text and the generative AI would create an image. So from text to image, we would literally go from text to image based on how good the query is. Back to your examples earlier, 80-year-old on the lip of a volcano sipping a martini. There you go. Here's the unphotographable available instantaneously.
Exactly. That's right. It's the unphotographical available instantaneously and 100% legal. If the generative AI platform went out and actually licensed their training data.
Another opportunity for a creative person, right? And how well they can describe and use the actual tool.
Right? Yes. Yes.
Holding a clear glass long stem martini, right? It's the lack of a better example, but the description now is becoming part of the creative process.
That's right. Wordsmiths are going to be the top of the food chain here. Somebody, those wordsmiths who will now take on the moniker synthographer are absolutely going to be the new creative, the darlings of our industry. People who can pull that off. You will see very shortly that Fortune 500 companies in the marketing departments will now have to hire wordsmiths, people who really, really know their stuff and are able to generate the kind of photography that the big bosses expect, that the ad campaigns demand.
The new form of copywriting.
Yes, that's correct.
In order to generate images or video for that matter, because there's text to video as well, which is just mind blowing. And I think the limitations is really our own imagination or creativity at this point.
That's right.
It's literally limited to what words we use to craft an image rather than the lighting and the technical terms to create an image and, take a helicopter to take that aerial no longer needed or not necessary for a quality image. Can you speak to the quality of the image? Is it as good as any other image that you can shoot with any top end DSLR or camera back?
Well, at present, I think it's not there yet. While it is amazing to look at, while many of the outputs are phenomenal and actually extra worldly, the fact is that the resolution doesn't quite match that which comes out of the best camera phone and out of a DSLR. However, there is synthetic, or I should say AI powered upscaling of photography. So whatever comes out of a generative AI can be upscaled to HD sized, which is 1090 by 1080. I'm sorry, I 1090 by 1080. And very shortly, you'll see a greater resolution and higher fidelity to a greater fidelity to DSLR. It's only a matter of time. It's not a question of, never. It's only a question of just literally weeks or months.
Yeah, it's moving so fast. Like even the people who are creating the tools are like, oh, well, we hope to do this in 6 months. And then 6 weeks later, they're able to do something. It's just mind-blowing how two AIs are fighting against each other in the generative adversarial sense of keep continually improving on each other. And then you just have to nudge them in one direction or another to improve what you actually want to improve on.
That's right. It's funny that you should mention that. I'm sorry. That sort of prompts me to think about at the very beginning of generative AI time, there was this large question about whether or not generative adversarial networks would dominate the technology because text to image synthesis was so far off and not yet even within our grasp. The race is over with. The idea that a generative adversarial network, a GAN, it almost seems clunky. You know, the idea that it would actually take over, it would be usable now, it almost seems clunky by comparison to just being able to type in something. So I think that race has been lost. And now is so far back in the dust that we probably have already forgotten about it. In fact, it wasn't until you just started talking about that I prompted me to think about it and mention it.
Yep. So the new acronym is what, GPT-3? Is that the main technology?
Absolutely.
Back there?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, it's a language model. It's a language model of billions upon billions of elements, a size which, you know, defies imagination. And that, of course, is the core of generative AI. I mean, without that, we would be still in the GAN age. You know, GAN being able to alter somebody's emotional state by using a slider, smiling, frowning, changing their eyes from Caucasian to Asian, changing their hair color from long from brown to blonde, or hair length. And we all thought that was the going to be the biggest and the, you know, the biggest news out there. But actually, it turns out that generative AI, or I should say, generative adversarial networks, have pretty much faded into the background technologically.
Excellent.
I've seen a big difference just in the avatars over the last 4 months. I mean, I remember 4 months ago using them, and it was still very robotic, and only saw it from maybe the chest high, and now we're getting to hand movements, full body expressions, also
clothing.
Clothing. Yep. So, the advancement and how quickly it's rapidly changing and advancing, I should say, is just phenomenal. It's getting exciting.
Yes.
Well, it's a quick half hour. Mark, can't tell you how much we appreciate you taking some time with us today.
Thank you.
More to come for sure.
Absolutely. We always just wait another day. Just wait another day.
Yeah, good luck tomorrow. It's a big announcement. And we look forward to speaking to you again soon and catching up on the latest and greatest.
Right. Well, thank you very much to both of you and to everybody else in the audience.
Absolutely. We'll see everybody soon. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.